Some healthcare juggling going on today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. On the one hand, we have a majority of Democrats who are claiming victory this morning over passage of a health care overhaul in Congress yesterday. On the other hand, Republicans are saying not so fast. This isn't the will of the people, and we will continue to fight it. How are markets reacting? Or as we always ask, where's Wall Street? Well, they're down right now. The market's down. The S&P off about 0.2%. The NASDAQ pretty much flat right now. And the Dow down about 9 points, 10,732. European markets down by more than 1% right now. Investors not happy with India's Reserve Bank hiking interest rates late last week. In Asia, shares were mostly mixed today, although the Hang Seng lost about 2%. Well, the health care overhaul passed by the U.S. House last night will no doubt continue to have an effect on the markets. We're going to talk to Sam Stovall now, chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research, for some analysis. He's with us live from New York. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
So markets hate uncertainty, Sam. All right. No more uncertainty. We know that this is very, very, very likely to become law. So are investors bullish or are they bearish on what's transpired?
Well, Steve, I think while Wall Street may not be happy with the reform itself, I think they're pleased that a very large stone in the proverbial wall of worry has been removed.
And what about individual industries, Sam? Big pharmaceutical stocks, some hospital stocks, health insurance. I mean, how are they faring and how will they fare in this?
Well, the interesting thing is that in the week leading up to this weekend vote, that 7 of the 10 industries in the S&P healthcare sector outperformed the market. So you could read into that that investors were feeling optimistic that at least this hurdle is being removed. And for some groups, such as the healthcare facilities, which is another word for hospitals, a lot of the people without insurance use the emergency rooms as primary care facilities, so this could help these hospitals get out from under a very high mountain of bad debt.
And I'm looking at some stocks right now. Humana's up about 1%. Tenet Healthcare is up 6% right now. There, GlaxoSmithKline, you were talking about drug makers, up, as well as Pfizer and AstraZeneca. So you're right, and we're going to see some movement there. What about the rest of Wall Street? I mean, as far as just the theme of overall healthcare reform coming to the United States.
I think that some investors might use this as a prescription for profit taking. We've advanced more than 10% since the February 8th low, and so a lot of fundamentalists as well as technicians believe that we're due for digesting some of these gains, but they caution that the declines will probably only be short and shallow, so you'd be better off taking advantage of the price declines rather than selling into them.
Sam Stovall, we thank you.
My pleasure.
Marketplace's Brett Neely is with us. The GOP hasn't kept quiet about their dislike of the bill. Some Republicans are even vowing to repeal it somehow. Brett is with us from our Washington studio. Good morning, Brett.
Morning, Steve.
Can Republicans do that? Can they repeal this bill, this law that's about to come into effect?
Well, maybe if they did win the House or the Senate in November's elections, but it's hard to imagine that they'll be successful, in part because the bill is engineered to be hard to reverse. I mean, some of the popular parts will come into effect almost immediately within the next few months. Insurance companies won't be able to drop kids with pre-existing condition. So I think it's going to be a hard sell to a lot of voters to say we're taking away the coverage you just got.
If you can't take it away, could coverage grow? I mean, what chance do you think this gets expanded over time?
Well, even after this bill fully enters force, there's still going to be about 20 plus million people without health care in the United States, including almost all illegal immigrants. I just talked to Micah Weinberg, who studies health policy at the bipartisan New America Foundation. He said, you know, look at the history of Social Security and Medicare. Neither of them was comprehensive when it became law.
I wouldn't be surprised to see follow-on efforts come after this that would expand health care even to those folks who are not covered under this bill.
So I think that the political parties will start competing to deliver what voters want. Remember that prescription drug benefit that President Bush pushed a few years ago?
Yes.
So anyway, the solutions will be different, Democrat or Republican, but this bill now establishes a new framework for future debates.
Interesting stuff. All right, Marketplace's Brett Neely reporting this morning from Philadelphia. Brett, thanks.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Monday, March 22nd, 2010, at marketplace.org. If you're flying British Airways today, security screening is the least of your concerns. Thousands of passengers face delays and cancellations after a strike by flight attendants. They're angry over pay and staffing levels. And as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London, fewer planes in the air means the accusations have gone airborne.
The fog of war has descended on the dispute, with the two sides making contradictory claims. The union says its actions had a crippling effect. Only 9 cabin crews turned up at Heathrow yesterday. British Airways says that's nonsense. They say around 600 flight attendants reported for duty. The union argues BA is flying a skeleton service with near-empty planes. Yesterday's flight to Miami was only 20% full. 3 out of the 6 flights to New York's JFK were cancelled. But BA's boss, Willie Walsh, in a recorded statement on YouTube, claimed he was beating the strike.
We promised that we would keep BA flying. That's exactly what we've done. I'm delighted that so many people in British Airways have come together to make sure that we keep the flag flying.
He says the airline is still flying 49,000 passengers a day, 60% of the usual traffic. But BA faces more turmoil at the end of this week with the start of a further 4-day strike. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
China hosts the World Expo in a few weeks. Hotel rooms in Shanghai will be at a premium. And there's a new lodging option there with a familiar name. The Peninsula Hotel had its grand opening last week, and Marketplace's Scott Tong was there.
Traditional Chinese drummers kick off this spectacle of a night, complete with a red carpet entrance for movie stars, bankers, gawkers.
It's really like being at the Oscars.
Yes, it was a little, yeah.
I was looking for Joan Rivers.
It's part high society, part performance, part Chinese acrobats.
What we just saw here was these guys dressed in bellhop uniforms come over the side of a building and walk down the side of the building.
Suspended by cables 100 feet high. The hotel is a brand new building, though its parent company has old Shanghai roots. In the 1920s and 30s, it ran Asia's finest hotels, says historian Peter Hibbard. They hosted afternoon teas for guests like Albert Einstein and Charlie Chaplin.
On offer were cream cakes, real cream cakes, amongst a whole mesh of beautiful cocktails and debutantes looking for new partners in life.
But in the 1940s, the Communist Party took over China. Out went the Western companies like this hotel group. Chairman Michael Kaduri, whose family made its early fortune in Shanghai, says the company waited 60 years to return.
That day has now arrived.
The new Peninsula has an old-school look. Ballroom singers wear 1920s flapper dresses. The hotel's marble floors sport Art Deco geometry. Shanghai native Wang Yinping.
Compared to other five-star hotels, this one is elegant and classic. The crown molding is from the 1920s and 30s. It's old Shanghai taste.
I want to be a part of it. Shanghai, Shanghai.
One thing that's changed since the 20s is the price. The basic room starts at $470. In the Peninsula Suite overlooking the Shanghai waterfront sets you back $1,200. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
With unemployment near 10% and more workers still getting laid off than hired, a lot of people are going out on their own to make ends meet, selling their skills as freelancers, starting online retail businesses, dusting off something they invented in the garage, whatever it takes. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
Allison Milionis never intended to be an entrepreneur.
When I moved here, I was looking for either a staff position someplace or a very regular consulting type of position, but that hasn't happened.
Milionis left a successful career in Los Angeles as an architectural writer 2 years ago and came to Portland, where she applied for jobs writing, waiting tables, loading boxes, and got nothing.
So I was sort of having to think quick on my feet, and Cameron had this business going, so I jumped in.
That's Cameron Morgan, her musician boyfriend. About a year ago, he started an online record store in their basement. It sells vintage vinyl and electric guitar accessories, including one he helped invent.
So this is our pretty much our flagship pedal, the Dark Echo.
I didn't see myself packing boxes and listing albums as a job, but, you know, you do what you have to do, and at least this is ours, and we can develop it.
Millones fits into a category called necessity entrepreneurs. A quarter of new businesses in 2009 were launched by people who'd lost a job or income, according to the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor. That's up 50% since the recession began.
What happens when you're unemployed? You have nothing to lose. Fear of failure goes away.
Vivek Wadhwa researches entrepreneurship at Duke University. He says many of the companies founded now will stay small, but there will be some blockbusters.
The most successful companies on the Dow, they were formed within recessions. Everyone is hurting. There's much less money available. Therefore, you have less competition. And this is what leads to so much success.
Alison Milionis doesn't need her business to be the next Amazon just for it to keep paying the bills. Plus,
sometimes it's fun because we have all this music.
I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
You may not know this, but today is World Water Day. It's a chance for United Nations officials to draw attention to unsafe drinking water across the globe. The UN says unsanitary water results in a substantial number of deaths every year. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sarah Gardner.
The UN says the world dumps 2 million tons of sewage, industrial, and farm waste into our water supplies every day. Some 2 million children under the age of 5 die every year from drinking water tainted by human waste. They live in places like sub-Saharan Africa and India. But industry plays a role, too. Peter Glick, president of the Pacific Institute, says many companies in developing countries dump industrial waste indiscriminately because there's no penalty.
When you make it expensive to pollute, and if you put standards to protect water quality, industry is very good at figuring out how to protect water quality.
By UN estimates, 70% of industrial waste in developing countries goes untreated into surface waters like rivers and oceans. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, Australian researchers say you may not be getting what you think you're getting when you pick out a pricey bottle of red or white. Cosmos magazine reports a team of investigators used this scientific carbon dating to determine whether vineyards are honest about marketing a wine from a certain year. Well, the researchers say up to 5% of wines are not from the year the label reports. Their conclusion? Some wines indeed may be sold before their time. Or after. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.